Sometimes the way we do things is not always the best way. But God always does things the best way. But God does not always get His way. Bible says that He came unto His own people, and His own people received Him not. I've been excited all week waiting for Sabbath to get here because I know that I'm doing the preaching today. Last week, God gave me a message, and I want to tell you how I got it. I was trying to come off of some medication, and Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, I slept about 10 hours. And so that made me droggy, and I just didn't feel real good any of those particular days. But on Thursday, it was raining, and a friend of mine came to see me. I happened to be outside in one of those times when it was only overcast. And when he pulled up in his pickup truck, he opened the door and he says, "Wendell, come here. I want you to hear this song." And I listened to the song, standing out in the driveway. And the song's not what was important. What's important was the fact he wanted me to hear his words. That was his way of opening up his testimony to me. And as many of you often do with conversations with me, he says, "How are you doing?" And I said, I'm normal. I mean, some people could argue about that, but I'm just going to say I'm normal. He started telling me how good God is and how good God had been to him. His father was a pastor of another faith, and he had grown up in church and religion, but then made some choices. He went out and he come back, and now he's just filled with this wonderful glow of God's victory in his life over habits and choices and things that happened to him, and he wants to share that. And it naturally comes across in a way that's encouraging. And as he was talking to me, he didn't see my lips moving, but I was thanking God, "God, you're giving me my message for Sabbath." A driveway religion or driveway experience or driveway Christianity, something connected there with that. I don't know what to put on it. And I've concluded something. If we don't have anything to say for God, we need to spend more time in prayer, more time in Bible study, more time listening to the right kind of music or something. Because it's like being around God's people, even at church. Have you ever noticed how talkative we are here? Get into a Sabbath school class like ours today. August could barely get through the lesson because we all wanted to talk. We've got things to say because when we meet and we fellowship with people who love God and who've gone through the valley and the mountaintop and all of that kind of stuff together, we enjoy company. We enjoy the fellowship. And we don't have to be taught what to say. It comes. I wish we all had a testimony that would meet four criteria. A testimony that would be genuine, that would be natural, that would be kind and truthful, and one that would also be mindful of Satan. We've been trying to come together here in our church for some time about how to reach the most people for Christ. And I have a real burden for that because I believe Jesus is coming soon. And there are some big events prophetically spoken of to take place. And it's an important decision to choose to be on Christ's side. And I want to dedicate myself first to my family and then to my church work and then to a community. But God forbid that if in all that process, I myself should become, as Paul said, a castaway. But you really should consider your own walk with the Lord and the degree that you are walking with Him as to whether or not you have something to say for God in as simple a situation as standing out in somebody's driveway or meeting a friend in Walmart or even somebody at Taco Bell. Now, religion attracts a lot of nuts. It attracts a lot of crazy people that therapy and medicine will just never heal. And there are some people that Satan uses to give a testimony that actually runs other people away. I want to be around people who talk about Jesus and who've had an experience. But if a person's life does not match the testimony, that's not being number one on my list of being genuine. To be genuine means that you have had a personal experience with Him. And I've been having some of the most wonderful experiences in my life. It's amazing to me the ability God has to supply people's needs. But even more amazing to me, the personal ways that God has met my needs. Every need I've had recently has been met and is being met. My friend and I stood out in the driveway so long it finally began to rain on us. He would tell me one story and I would tell him one story. He told me about his children and I told him about mine. And God is good, isn't He, Stephanie? He told me about his brothers, and I told him about mine, Ed. He told me about his father, and I told him about mine. I know him. Finally, I said, "You know, it's raining. Let's move up on the porch." And we moved up on the porch, and then the wind began to blow, and I said, "It's storming, let's go inside." And we went inside, and we praised God some more. To me, that's what it means to be genuine in your faith. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed a leper. But Jesus said to that leper, "Don't tell anybody." And there were some reasons for that. He did not want his ministry to be stopped or hushed, condemned at that particular time. A few verses later, though, he goes and he heals the servant of a centurion, and he does not tell that man the same thing. And I'm sure that man was like some of the others. There were a few people that Jesus said, "Go and tell." Well, I should say the Holy Spirit said, "Go and tell what great things God has done for you." Now, you have to be genuine, and you must be natural at it, or it will be fake and phony. I was in Taco Bell. Shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to. It's a good illustration, and it's natural. Someone comes up and pokes me in the rib and says, "You're not going to get meat, are you?" I wasn't planning on it, but I did. I don't like that kind of testimony. It's not natural. I knew that person to be drinking and taking drugs and running around and doing some other things. But you have to be natural in what you say. 2 Timothy 1:8, it says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Big concern today. Have you got anything to say to somebody in a way that is genuine and natural, but non-threatening? Everybody has a testimony. It's not all as severe. It's not always as earth-shaking. I mean, we've not all been released from prison for murder. But God should be working in your way in such a manner that you can see Him working, and then it's your privilege to talk about it. When Andrew first became convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, he was filled with a anxious passion, and he went and found his brother, and he says, "You've got to come with me. You must come with me because I've found the Messiah." That's genuine. That's natural. Then we come to the third one, which says that we should be kind and truthful. First John 4 is the text that I'd like to read. First John 4 and verse 14. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world." Now, I didn't just choose that because I had my concordance out and it used the word testify. These men had actually walked with Christ, communicated directly with Christ, had witnessed His miracles. And he's writing here and he's saying, "What we have seen and heard is what we shall write about." Now, Jesus never did anything that was inappropriate or wrong. He always knew exactly how to do His work and even when to do it. He was kind and He was truthful. I know the occasion about the temple and cleansing the temple, but I'm talking about the ministry part. I'm learning more and more that the world around us has regressed more than I really thought it has. I've been advised to sort of broaden my horizons a little bit, because all of my life is spent with family and church people. Okay? Now, I do visitation, but I don't have a lot of social life, much outside of my family and my church. And I'm learning that the world, I say the world, I'll just say people I don't know. They have the unique longing in their hearts for Jesus to come just like you do. Even though they may not realize that the coming of Christ and the end of the world is the total solution. But our world is in trouble. They are hurting. They are starving for somebody to come up with a message of compassion. They are hungry for somebody to lead them to a smorgasbord that gives faith and hope and courage that there is a way out of this troubled world. And you have the testimony of what you have seen and heard Christ do. And especially if you have heard Christ or seen Christ working in your own life. If He isn't working, if you cannot come up with something that God has done, I beg you, fall upon your knees and say, God, I've missed something here today. That pastor Wendell was speaking to me, but I just don't have it. Let me have it, Lord, so that I can have a good testimony to give. And you know what the most difficult thing is? Now listen to me, everybody. The devil has studied the human mind for thousands of years. He hates you. As a child of the eternal King, He gathers His angels together. I don't know how often they meet, maybe every morning. And He says, now you know how hard we've been working on Ron Anderson. Don't give up today. You guys make it just as hard as you can on him. Keep him in the valley. What is so difficult about the testimony, listen to me, is not just keeping it genuine, and not just keeping it natural, and not just keeping it kind and truthful, but as you're doing it, to be mindful of Satan. What the world needs to hear first is not what we so often talk about. Not very long ago, one of you or somewhere else said to me, I met somebody in the grocery store and I really let them have it about what they should eat. I didn't say a word because I would have said something inappropriate. People who are hurting and people whose hearts are breaking, either for themselves or for their family or whatever. The whole world is turned upside down and God appoints us to be His ambassadors and we've got wonderful things to talk about. And if you do not talk about it or demonstrate it, you are failing God, and God is ashamed of you, and God cannot bless you. He will not bless you. And you yourself are missing out on one of the greatest blessings that God can possibly give, and that's being a partner with Him. We need to focus not just on what people want to hear, but what people need to hear. You know there's a time and a place for doctrine. And I love the doctrines of our faith. But if we don't have Jesus Christ as a Savior, the doctrines do no good. I'm praying for a greater opportunity to share my faith and to share it in ways that are genuine and that come natural. And it's not bad to use humor. If it's natural humor. And I've got a good one for drinking water. Yesterday, for the first time in my life, now this is truth. I walked a mile, but I do that often, but I drank a whole gallon of water. But I would not advise you to do it all at one time. Now that can be an opening testimony for something really good to follow. You know, our bodies are made in such a way, I've been drinking a lot more water, but I wouldn't want you to drink a gallon at one time. Who can argue with something like that? People need to hear and see what God has done and is doing and wants to do for you. Now, that's a good formula for a testimony. What has God done for you? I hear this a lot. As a matter of fact, I got to be careful here because this is recorded and it goes who knows where, but don't push me. And this particular person, I said, I'm going to push you. Now that's not ordinarily the way I like to have as part of the conversation. There are times when people under conviction can be encouraged. They consider it pushing. I consider it dragging. It's as God is calling upon someone's heart, you cannot just turn and walk away because they say, don't push me. The people around you in your home, and your children need to hear this from mother and daddy. Your wife needs to hear this. Your husband needs to hear this. Your neighbor needs to hear what God has done for you, but you need the lifestyle that goes with what you're talking about. If you have found a new release and a new happiness in life, you cannot go around all day using the B word and then expect that your testimony is going to be worth anything. Now to our scripture that was read a while ago out of the book of James. Will you go there? James has a unique way of summarizing all of this up. James chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I wish Jesus would come. I really, truly do. I held the hand of a lady this week who just suffered a stroke. Her retired pastor husband explained to me what was going on. Her words were broken, but still I could understand them so clearly. She told me about her husband. She told me about her family. She told me about her church. I've been there, spoken there, but I just listened. Then she began to tell me about herself. And she says, I want Jesus to come. She's probably been moved into the nursing home today. It means something to people to believe that the Lord is coming. That was the testimony of John. He had seen the resurrection and life. He had seen the master physician. He had seen the one that could make all things new. Continuing in James 5, it says, see how that the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter. We add the word rain in there, by the way. And then he says the same in verse 8. You also be patient. I like that one, because we often think that if we tell somebody something, they should get it the first time. Duh. Have you ever been around a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old? When it comes to most people, we are young, we are babes in Christ, and we don't get things the first time. But sometimes the mature Christian thinks to himself, well, I told them about the mark of the beast, and if they don't get it now, that's just tough luck. Be patient. And then this one, verse 8. I like King James, although I'm using a different version here. It says, establish. Not establish or establish, but just establish. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe this more clearly today than I've ever believed it. I understand a little more about what it means that we overcome Him by the word of their testimony, or by the word of our testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. You are influenced by the words that come out of your mouth. It is true, the world is in sad shape. A pastor called me yesterday. And I'm glad I have a lot of friends of different views. But this pastor called and said, well, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing normal. His wife's got cancer. And so we talked a little bit, and I could tell the direction that our conversation was going. And I called him by name and I said, you know, Debbie died, but God did not die. That's the realization of establishing your heart, is that earthly, that our happiness is not dependent upon the circumstances taking place around us, but that our happiness is dependent upon what Christ has already done and is doing and plans to do in the future. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I'm not just suggesting today, I'm telling you as your friend, And I believe as God's spokesperson for this hour, your testimony, if it is genuine and if it is natural, if it is kind and truthful, your testimony, if it includes being mindful of Satan, it will help to establish you in the truth so that you do not lose your way in the valley. Notice verse 11 of James chapter 5. As he speaks about referencing the prophets, he says, "Indeed, we count them blessed or blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord." What's he trying to say here? He's trying to tell us what you already know, that as Job's life went through all that turmoil and trouble and so many people died, his wife and his children and all of that, he was blessed about 10 times greater in the end. I don't know how that could be, but that's what the Bible says, and so I'm just going to rest my faith on that. If you will stay with it, and if you will develop a testimony, at least a natural testimony of what God is doing in your life. Now, He has to be working. You can't do it. It would not be genuine. It would not be truthful. If you will develop a testimony in your life, I promise you, it will help to establish your own faith. And the seed of truth that's been planted in you will grow up, and you will be a much greater witness for God than you've ever thought that you could be or can be. Actually, testimony does not always have to be verbalized. I know I've told you the story, although you've probably forgotten it, because I've forgotten when I told it. But I know I told it. I went to have some meetings in a church, and there was a particular lady in the community who started attending the meetings. Just a delightful Christian woman. And I discovered that her friendship base, it just brought in so many, many people. Every week, she baked a cake and gave it away to somebody. What a unique testimony. Probably most of those were chocolate on yellow cake mix, probably. Let's get back to the Bible here. James 5:11. As we bring our study to a close today, he says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord." Now, what you have not seen is the end that's intended for you. Greater than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for His children. But he finishes this passage here by saying, "You have seen this part of the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." I say, praise the name of the Lord. Give us a testimony, Lord, that would fit a driveway.